Mads, do you know what I love about being a Swan supporter?
What's that, Deeble?
It's belonging to the culture, the Bloods culture. It's funny, you know, Mads, culture might just be the most discussed but least understood topic on the planet.
Oh, I agree.
But you know who understands culture?
That'd be Pragmatic Thinking, Deeble. Darren, Ali, Rowan and the team at Pragmatic Thinking have been delivering leadership training, consultancy and advice to some of the biggest organisations you can name for nearly two decades now. And you know what, Deeble?
What?
They love the Swannies.
Oh, how good's that?
So for any of the faithful who are out there and in corporate land thinking that your workplace culture needs a little nudge, then Pragmatic Thinking are worth a call.
For sure, Mads. And maybe you need a workshop for your team or an off-site for your leadership group. The PT team will help you lower the eyes and hit targets like Errol Goulden inside Forward 50. Hit up the team on www.pragmaticthinking.com. Speak to Darren and the team and get your session locked in.
This is Tom Harley, and you're listening to True Blood, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast.
Jeez, this is the most one-eyed podcast.
Yeah, it's what we're here to do.
Let's go. Let's actually go.
For mine, boys.
For yours, then.
I'm about to blow a gasket in here.
You've kicked three goals for the day, Deeble.
What is going on?
Damaging team.
Damaging disposal.
He's been very, very average.
Our best is the best in the competition. This is True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast, back in the Image Online studio in Abbotsford to review the win over the West Coast. And that's about it, because it's bye round this week and we need it, faithful. But I'm joined, as always, by Madison Clark. How are you, Mads?
Oh, I'm all right, Deeble. How are you,
mate? Good, mate. Your voice and your tone is so much better than Saturday afternoon. I was concerned for your, not your well-being. You were fine.
I'm always going to be okay, Deeble.
But talk about blown gaskets. I reckon you nearly blew one on Saturday afternoon.
I think it was a completely reasonable reaction.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because looking at it, and we discussed before. Now, I was at the London Tavern.
Yes.
And I was there, so my mate Bernard is down from New York.
Yes.
And luckily, so when was the game? 1:30?
Yeah.
So he was there at 1:30 and I arrived and basically there weren't a great many of our friends there at that time. But I was doing a few sort of table punches. Yeah. And it can get, when you're sitting with people who aren't actively watching the game and, you know, your life is on the line. Every bloody kick.
Well, you're at work.
Bounce. I'm at work. I'm working. This is my second full-time job. It's just hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And when there's that weight of expectation, like, oh, it's a foregone conclusion, Sydney are $1.02. That those sort of things kill me. Yeah. And then just Harley Reid breaking tackle after tackle after tackle. Goal after goal, just kicking them from everywhere. Yep. As well. I just thought, geez, this isn't going to happen, right? They're not going to win their first game against us. Harley Reid kicks his first goal. I thought Kingy said something quite insightful at the start of the game. He said, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here. He said, it's the way that they can try to either stem the flow or beat us, it doesn't require skill. It just requires them playing our game, stopping us going through the corridor, keeping, you know, possession off us. You know, it just requires effort, and they brought effort in spades. All credit has to go to West Coast because they really took it up to us, Deebs.
Yeah, look, I thought our first quarter was actually okay.
We had the territory.
We had the territory battle. We weren't taking the most of our opportunities, and then they were able to go inside our D50 and score, which is always frustrating, and that's probably where the second biggest worry I have at the moment is our D50.
Sure.
Not having Ramps there, the back six, McCartan under pressure, Malikan only serviceable so far, and, you know, Rampy wasn't overly great before he got injured either.
Rampy?
Yeah.
I thought Rampy has been phenomenal, mate.
I think he had one good game.
Yeah.
And then,
but it's more the organisation behind the footy.
Exactly right, and how we set up behind the ball, and teams are just scoring way too easy on us.
So easy, man.
But the first quarter effort was there. You could see what we were trying to do. It was fine. But that second quarter, mate, it's...
Shocking.
Shocking. That's...
Shocking.
Full gasket blown.
Yep.
West Coast, who haven't won a quarter for the year, tear us up. 6 goals to however many it was. Six goals to 3 in the second quarter.
Yep. We had it. Yeah. Just touching on the first quarter again, we had it down our end for so long. I think Warner missed a sitter. Haywood missed a sitter. You just got to... I still think there was an element of taking them a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
There was still a little bit of flash where they probably didn't need to be. Logan got out and kicked a goal, but I still don't think we looked 100% on in that first quarter, and I was concerned.
Yeah.
Especially after Harley kicked that goal.
No, and what adds to all this as well is how we played last week against the Tigers, right? So you just... Everything's compounding, and we have an average game. We come out against West Coast. We don't put them away in the first quarter. 8 scoring shots to 2.
Yep.
They kicked the 2 goals. That was it. To 8 scoring shots. We haven't been able to put the foot on the throat and make it a 5-6 goal lead at quarter time. That happens. It's probably game over.
Absolutely.
It's game over, right?
Absolutely.
But we leave the door ajar, and West Coast put us to the sword.
Mm.
West Coast put us to the sword in the second quarter.
Especially considering it was they said 2-3 goal wind. It was probably even more like a 4 goal wind.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't put that score on. And then the problem is it goes back the other way. They do put that score on. And then I'm like, I turned to my mates and I said, geez, if we don't really get going in this third quarter... The problem is, with the breeze going that way, it's highly likely you're going to get pipped.
Get run over the top.
I couldn't believe the situation we were in. But yeah, that second quarter was just appalling, mate. I was absolutely livid, Gable.
Yeah.
It was impossible to enjoy myself.
Yeah. It's a funny thing when the corridor gets taken away from the Swannies, right? It's what is...
Don't say it.
The plan B. Right? And they were just standing inside, even coming off the 5 and standing on the inside, not letting us through the corridor. And you know the other thing that dead set sucks in our game at the moment?
What's that?
Contested marking.
Oh, mate.
Contested marking,
mate,
faithful.
Mate.
We do not have an aerial presence who can intercept. And the forwards are dead set struggling.
Yeah.
McLean, after finishing so bloody strongly in 2023, like in our top 5 players finishing the year last year,
without a
sensational
doubt.
In that final against Carlton, has been nowhere this year.
Amati and McLean are our lowest performers, according to Champion Data, this year. And you can tell that. And this is why I've sort of brought up our forward line and how truly functional it is the last couple of weeks. And I think that was the piece de resistance to say, hold on, something's not right here. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, we cannot take a contested mark.
Yeah.
And we continue. I don't want to talk about the Bomit Long scenario, but these are the kinds of forwards, hit them on a lead.
Yeah.
You can see how many goals McDonald kicks from out the back. Now, that shows phenomenal football smarts to get to the position, but that's not how he's meant to be kicking goals.
Yep.
It's just simply not. He's not meant to be a crummer.
Yeah.
And I think we're missing Sam Weeks in a big way.
100%. The forward pressure has dropped off. The 2 games Wixie hasn't played, it's been relatively non-existent. I wouldn't say it was a highlight of our game, but it was probably better than against Richmond.
Oh,
non-existent
sure.
Against Richmond, better against West Coast on the weekend. But yeah, that second quarter, man, it's the quarters we don't expect from... We're a hardened team now. We've got the talent there.
Yeah.
Those quarters shouldn't be happening and creeping into our game.
I agree. I agree. And this is the problem. But, I mean, when we talk, you talk about the back six being a worry, the forward line's also a worry.
Yeah.
Because, we're not entering correctly. Like, again, we're not picking high enough percentage options in the forward line. Amati and McLean and Logan cannot take contested marks. Now, McLean and Amati were doing that last year. I don't know what's happened. But again, it speaks to poor delivery inside 50. Yeah.
And I tell you what, there's just three blokes, two blokes and one guy who was really good on the weekend. Isaac Heaney and Errol Goulden pretty much put the side on their shoulders and said, this is how we want to play, boys, and this is how you execute your skills.
Yeah.
Because bar those and Lizard was awesome on the weekend.
He was.
Right? Bar those three, everyone else struggled by foot.
Oh, yeah.
And when your game is built on ball movement, geez, it looks average when you don't get it right.
It kills
and
you.
This is where it looks – it's such sexy footy, right? That first 3 weeks was sexy footy. And look, and there's some good contested work in there too. It hasn't all been sexy, but I don't know how match-hardened – the reliance on the ball movement is. I'm questioning that as your A pillar to go to. When everything's up and firing, yeah, it's like sensational. Everyone's in form. Everyone's kicking the ball well. You got perfect weather conditions. Everything's tick, 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 tick. Yeah, you're going to look awesome, right? Two average teams bring good pressure on us. And West Coast, you fall apart.
Yeah.
West Coast kicks 6 goals to zip in a row on you. West Coast, they haven't done that to anyone in the last 3 years,
bar two games. They hadn't won a quarter.
I'm talking in like the last two. This year, they hadn't won a quarter.
Yeah, but they hadn't won a quarter, and they almost won a half. Or maybe they did win a half against us. So it's these little things. As we said, it's you have to use how good you are by foot, and you have to actually be good by foot. Because, you know, we're at 70.8% efficiency. Now, we know it's a little bit of a forward stat, but that's the lowest that we've been for the season. That was plainly obvious to see.
5 or 6% down, that is. We normally run between 75 and 78, I would say. But to the boys' credit, they really did lift in the second half, in my opinion. It was good to see that the work rate didn't stop. You weren't questioning work rate on the weekend. It was the execution of the skills.
Decision making as well. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And you know what we did better in the second half as well? Took possession of the footy.
Yeah.
Uncontested marks. They couldn't keep taking uncontested marks away from us all day. They did it very well in the first half, but we were able to hold on to the ball and then go. Our ball movement was too good for the what type of defense do they call it? It's man on man and then a zone defense. It was too good for their zone.
It was, but and I mean faithful. Let me be absolutely clear about this. It's not being negative. It's about looking at this. As I said in the bloody group chat, we are not happy clappers. We will never be happy clappers. I'm not going to sit on this podcast after beating West Coast by 5 goals and say it's all good.
Yeah.
Because there's things that need to be addressed here.
Yeah. It's as we said last week, it's all about in the manner you do it. We predicted the score, what we wanted or what we thought we would win by, right? We said 5 goals.
Yep.
But the way we won by 5 goals wasn't how we wanted to do it. If we ground it out in that first half and we you could see the execution and West Coast were just good, we would walk away a lot happier than we were. But it just wasn't good enough, especially in that second quarter.
I reckon you're losing to 60% of the rest of the teams in the competition.
I reckon probably more, mate.
Probably.
They would have put us away that badly in that second quarter. It's probably more.
So these are the concerns and these are the things that you have to be wary of. I asked the question, are we overrated? I'm not sure yet. I think the jury's still... I think it's probably a little bit early to sort of ask that question in round 4.
It is, but it's the P word.
Yeah.
Potential.
Correct.
We're just a side with potential who has to string it together like we did last year for 8 to 12 weeks.
And
consolidate. Look, this is nearly talking out the rear, right? You've got to consolidate that top four spot. You've got to put together the body of work of 8 to 12 weeks and consolidate your top four spot.
To quote Fly McRae, you just got to qualify.
Yeah.
But we are firmly on Errol Goulden and Isaac Heaney's back at the moment.
Yeah.
Without them, I mean, geez, every team has them, right?
Yeah.
But Haynes had 10 score involvements, 7 clearances, 6 tackles, went at 92%. Only Christian Petrarca has more score involvements than Haynes this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, Errol's got 719 metres gained.
Yeah. It's phenomenal, those guys.
Phenomenal stuff.
What Haynes has been able to do these 5 weeks, it's off the chain on whatever Richter scale, whatever scale you want to put on it, it's dead set off it.
Yeah,
absolutely flying, and as long as he can keep doing that, we're a huge chance at winning games. But it's nearly un-Sydney like to have two blokes like that carrying the side.
Yeah, correct.
Normally we're such an even spread, but these guys are willing us over the line.
I think the bye has come at the perfect time.
Oh, mate. It could not have arrived sooner.
Good to see Tay-Tay kick his first goal
and
get around the ground. Had 9 contested in a little over 3 quarters. Got involved 6 times in scoring and had 4 tackles. If I'm seeing him get contested possessions and I'm seeing him tackling, perfect.
Yeah.
Seeing him have CBAs.
And I liked how he got forward and kicked that goal too.
Mate,
it was a nice finish.
So good. Could have kicked 2.
Yeah. He's the addition we need. It's going to come when it's not happening for us in the middle. Taylor Adams is going to come to the fore. He's going to be really good for us. And this is his first game, got injured for 4 weeks. Give him a month, Faithful, and then make your assumptions.
Well, the benefit is he had pretty much a full preseason.
Yeah.
So
sure.
You're pretty comfortable with that. It's just going to take a little bit of time to work into it. Thought Brody was great around the ground, had the most hit outs. The thing that I love about Broads is his clearance work.
Yeah.
Had 8 of them. You see him so often, he'll hit it down and he'll go straight after it.
Yeah.
You don't see many ruckmen doing that, Deeble.
They just don't have the ability
he's
to do it.
He's just so good, and he's doing it with no fanfare whatsoever.
Yeah.
I am such a big Brody Grundy fan, and I can't wait till he sneaks forward and snags one.
We're all looking for that, aren't we?
Yeah, 100%.
Now, I thought Juzzy was probably one whose stats probably, make the day look a little bit better for him.
Yeah.
I thought he was one who killed us by foot.
Don't you think we just sometimes look, the kicking sometimes looks lazy. Like, we drink our own bathwater and we're great by foot, lazy kick, turnover.
Yeah.
And I think Juzzy does that a reasonable amount, to be honest.
Yeah, but he's one of the ones who has the ability to pull it off too.
Oh, no,
so
totally.
You're gonna see it. And look, Chad was probably down by foot too, but you could just see the frustration on the boys' faces. They were trying their absolute guts out.
Yep.
Right? But it just wasn't happening by foot. But yet you have to be better, and it was good to see Chad get out on the fly and finish that goal. I think that it reinvigorated the team.
And that was when the momentum was squarely against us.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
It's good to see Chad finish his work. Good reward for effort. And, if we can get Chad up and going, he's had a pretty good year, to be fair, Chad. And then Goulden, Heaney, Lizard, it's all there.
We are still missing Luke Parker and Callum Mills.
Yeah.
Right?
That's such a good point.
It cannot be discounted how important that is in situations like with Richmond. When you get a couple of goals kicked on you, it starts to get away from you. We've chosen Callum Mills as our sole captain for the first time in many, many years, Deebs. We've got Luke Parker, who, you know, won a flag with us in 2012 and still has football ahead of him. This is the fabric of the football club that is currently not on the field. So that can't be discounted. And, you know, without them, we've gone through a situation and we've come out of it 4-1.
Yeah.
Are we playing our best football? Absolutely not. Have we played close to our best this year? Perhaps. And we've seen how good it can be.
Yeah.
So this is why I looked at it, because, dude, I was so frustrated about it. I was going up to West Coast supporters in London, which apparently there were 25 of them. Literally, they all had scarves on.
They're a powerhouse, man. Powerhouse.
And I went up to them. I'm like, oh, look, boys, that's a win for you. It's a loss for us. And I obviously watch a replay and I look back and I'm like, look, it's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. But I look at it a little bit differently. It's like, well, hold on.
Yeah.
Sum of all parts.
Yeah.
We're going okay. If you lose that game, complexion is very, very
implosion,
different.
Mate. I would have imploded. I wouldn't have left the house for a week. Wouldn't have gone to work.
The important thing is we were able to gather ourselves, credit to Horse for however he sort of changed things around, gather ourselves, compose ourselves, start hitting targets.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of gut running from Errol Goulden, which we'll touch on in a bit. But, you know, to be able to just find that next gear and go, hold on, we're a much better side than you. We're going to run over you.
Yeah, the change in the second half was just the tempo. And I think we struggled. We spoke last week. We struggled on, you know, keeping the ball last week and being able to choose your times to go. That's where we did it in that second half. You could see the way they were picking their targets, working the way up to, you know, half back, up to the wing, and then it's like, bang, we're going to go. We've got ground position. You can see that the forwards working hard. Like that, the viral clip that's gone viral on your social medias that I put up, that is genuine hard work and game plan for Heaney to know to get on his bike to get out the back.
No,
like,
and
he's gone, man.
It's things like that that make me pretty comfortable to know that the fundamentals are still there.
Yeah.
We still, the cohesion of the group has not just fallen away. It's just getting those little things right. And as you say, when your whole game is skill execution and you're a little bit off, you just got to find a way to keep possession.
Yeah. Now, you know what was a concern on the weekend?
Oh, if you're going to say what I think I am, I've got a bit of time for this. Go.
Tommy Papley?
Yeah, correct. So, yeah. To be, and I'll let you have your piece, but to be captain for the day.
Yeah.
And to be talking how he did, I wanted a repeat of last go the round. And not only did I not get it, I got a pretty bang average performance, Deeps.
Yeah, yeah, we did. He was nowhere to be sighted. He had one ping at goal, I think. If that went through, you know, it could have been a different story. He's a confidence player. We know that. But, yeah, it's a disappointing performance. He doesn't have too many like that where he's unsighted and no impact whatsoever. It's one of the poorer performances from Paps, and I hope he is not less, you know, just resting on his laurels. Is it laurels?
Laurels, that's right.
A
very sort of vintage old school term.
Yeah, there, I hope he isn't, and that this will really fire him up to come out after the bye and have a ripper. We need Paps up and about, and when he's down, we're down as well.
I mean, you're missing three goals there.
Yep.
Right? Like, it's as simple as that. He's had one tackle. He's had 10 touches. You know, this is what I find interesting. As a coach, I would have thought you see the game he's having at halftime, because his second quarter, he had like two kicks. Didn't even tackle anyone. Surely you inject him.
Yeah.
Surely you inject him into the middle. He's had three CBAs for the day.
Damn.
Center bounce attendances, if this is the first time you're listening.
Why?
So this is my
question.
Because if you're not getting it up forward, chuck him in the middle.
This is really odd.
Him in the middle.
I know the boys have that the percentage of center bounce attendances for the whole year and the percentage against each game. It's a very weird one. I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
Why?
It just seems strange.
Very odd.
When you could go, you know, you could even rest Heaney up forward.
Yeah.
Right? We don't want, but, you know, mix things up a little bit. If something's not working, you know, it's a definition of insanity, Deeble. What's the definition of insanity?
Making the same mistake twice.
Yeah, doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results.
That's it. That's it.
So I found that a bit strange. The back six, if we could just revisit that, that's a big concern, man, because we've lost that intercept a capability.
Yeah. And
haven't lost it completely. You've obviously still got Lizard and Tom McCann, but Tom McCann's having to do a lot more lockdown one-on-one.
Yeah, Tommy McCann's not the intercept player, no. I don't think, but Lizard is. It's funny, it came up in another Swannies chat today. He's the man who can do it, right? But I don't think he's got the license at the moment to say, float behind the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, pick it off as you see fit.
Yeah, well, he did the first couple of weeks when Rampy was there.
Mm.
You know, he definitely did against Melbourne and Collingwood, for sure.
Yeah.
But
I reckon numbers would still wouldn't be great. It's not like we're having big intercept games.
No. But more intercept possessions. But I think he's just playing more of a defensive role.
Yeah, it's true. Dude, there's no one to really...
This is my concern.
We're one short there, aren't we?
It's been my concern since the start of the year, since Paddy retired.
Yeah.
If Tom McCartan goes down, we're in a world of hurt.
Yeah. Well, we need Hamling on the park playing in the twos, see if he's can match it at the level, right? Where we just simply don't know. Don't know with Hamling.
Complete unknown.
And look, touch wood, Tommy's going to be fine, but we need someone to lift in that back six to be able to lock down a player to release Lizard. Lizard's too good to be worrying about defense.
Can't have him. You
can still play defense as the second behind the ball. You go to the, you read the ball, you make impact. And you know what else I saw on the weekend, man?
What's that?
People not reading the ball. And when the 2v1 were making a marking contest, allowing the ball to get over the back. If you are the second person going up in the defense,
take the mark or punch,
and you want to impact, do not let it get over the back.
Yeah, you can't.
If I see that after the bye, I am going to lose it. If you see ball, hit ball and bring it to the front.
No, it's true.
Do not let it get out off the back. It happened too many times on the weekend.
Fundamentals, people.
Cannot do it. Simply cannot.
Sinful.
Oh, mate. It was so frustrating. Oh, but we lifted in the second half, mate.
And we're 4-1. But the best football we play is, you know, almost orchestrated by Lizard off halfback.
Yeah.
It's the cleanest, sexiest football we play.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
What's that?
The inconsistencies in Jake Lloyd. 32 last week, 13 this week.
Mm.
That's not Jake Lloyd like. He made arguably the last 6 years could be our most consistent player.
Yeah.
Like that would have to be his third game of the year under 15 touches.
I'm just having a look.
He had a ripper last week.
Yeah, he had a great game last week.
32 and, you know, went at 95, I'm pretty sure. But just inconsistencies, bro.
He's 30 years old.
Yeah, but...
Sometimes it hits you. It hit me when I was 30. Wow.
It does. Boy, oh boy. But, yeah, it's...
Yeah, he's down in form. Well, what do you think of the fantastic Mr. Fox?
Tough. What he's been asked to do is tough.
It's a berserk position he's playing.
Yeah. He's going okay. Yeah, issues with Foxy.
He's going a hell of a lot better than I thought he would.
Kicked the snag on the weekend, finishing his work, which is great to see.
Yeah.
Probably been a questionable kick over the years.
Oh, mate.
Coming off half back, but shots at goal.
Mm.
But yeah, we're just inconsistent at the moment, Faithful. And I'm just hoping that after the break, Wixie comes back into the side. Forward pressure is paramount.
Yeah, critical.
And pressure across the ground is paramount. I don't think the pressure was bad on the weekend, but was it excellent? No.
No.
And that's what we're built on too.
It's our DNA, Dave.
Yep.
So, yeah. Are there things to work on? Yes.
Which is a great thing too.
It's a great thing. The best thing is that we are 4-1.
Yeah.
You know, no one can take that away from us, and we're going into a bye.
That's
really, really good. Yeah,
it's 4 games in the bank. You got to win another 8 to make finals. It's very doable. And if we work out these deficiencies in our game, it'll come together, Faithful. Are there worries there? Absolutely. Is it fixable? Well and truly.
Yep.
It's fixable, but you got to air the concerns and talk it out, and just remember, it's all going to be okay. It'll work itself out.
That's right, Dable. Well, one can hope.
But we might stop it there, Mads. We're basically going to be talking about the game in Seg 2 as well. So we'll be back right after this. Mads, do you know Darren Hill?
I do, Deebs. I think I met him before the preliminary final.
Well, he's the director of Pragmatic Thinking. Well,
what do Pragmatic Thinking do?
They work with large organisations to help breathe new life into them by teaching how to lead boldly, deal with the tough stuff, and create great team framework, amongst a variety of other services. It's essential for any large corporation, Mads, sort of like Blood's culture.
Well, I like the sound of that, Deeble. Where can I find them?
You head over to pragmaticthinking.com and see all the services they can offer you. Talk to any of the friendly staff and see how they can help your business today.
OnStone are a partner of True Bloods for this month. Deebs, have you ever passed the Jim Steins room in the members at the G and noticed a large installation of Jimmy in full flight cut up into diamond formations?
I haven't myself, but I'm sure you have.
Well, Deeble, I have, and each section is a timber frame piece of stone invented and made by Nick and Emma from OnStone.
OnStone behaves in the same way as regular framing, except they add valuable extras, depth, warmth, and a touch of mystery. The timbers are all reclaimed hardwoods, no cheap, quick-growth painted timbers. This can be hard to imagine, but just jump onto onstone.com.au.
Why print your memories on stone? Well, there's no glass, no reflection, creating an almost three-dimensionality to the image, Deeble. OnStone is a family of True Bloods, and they spend their days making stone prints and listening to the potty. So if you want to support an original handmade business, pick these guys.
Order your own OnStone's print online today at onstone.com.au. Use the code TRUEBLOODS and receive a 20% discount at the checkout.
Welcome back to True Bloods. Look, professional in the second half.
Professional?
Like we just said, hold on. Enough mucking around.
Yeah.
Let's just get this done and move on.
Let's actually go.
Let's actually go now.
And get it sorted. Yeah. And you could see, it's good knowing that the players aren't in fantasy land. They knew what wasn't going right. They were shaking their heads. You could see the frustration on their faces, but they knuckled down and found a way to get it done. So it's pleasing too. I think last year at stages, last year, drop your bundle. We would probably lose that game. And there's slight maturities in our game that I see.
Does it speak to maturity, Dable?
I think so. Yeah. There's slight maturities in our game that you look at it, and I probably didn't touch on it enough with what you said with Millsy and Parks. I didn't even think about that on Saturday.
Yeah.
When it's such a key part.
You just assume that this is our team.
Hand up. I did not even contemplate that. It's two of your top five out. Parks is getting older, right? But so important to aspects of footy that us as guys who talk on a podcast or amateurs talking about footy, right?
Rank amateurs.
What he does for our footy club cannot be put in words on field. Like, it's so important. It's nearly the most important thing that we're missing at the moment. You talk about your back six. You talk about the dysfunctional forward line. You talk about Luke Parker not being in the middle of the ground marshalling the troops.
Nor Callum Mills.
Nor the skipper.
And yet we're 4-1.
Yep. It's fine. It works itself out after the bye. Parks is nearly in. That's he should be close.
I was speaking to Pete Gotsis on the way here. We're talking, it's all about momentum, but not only momentum in-game, it's momentum for the season. It's a bloody long season.
Yep.
There's lulls. You're gonna win three. You're gonna lose two. You're gonna win six. You're gonna lose three. Like it's the way things fall.
Yeah.
And I think what I learned, and obviously, I mean, being in an environment when you're out and not able to maybe like fully concentrate,
yeah,
it just looks a lot worse than it is.
I could imagine. I'm pretty sure I said it to you in a phone convo. I said, mate, you being out would just be heightening what's going on. Like, horrible. I was losing it, but I was like, you had blown the gasket. But it's all okay.
It's
nearly okay when you walk away with the 4 points and you look at the second half, it was a lot better than what we presented in the first half, and that makes it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are we flying? Absolutely not. Do you want to be flying in April? Probably not. Do you want to be banking 4 points in April?
Do.
Absolutely yes. 4-1, let's go.
Because that was probably what most people would say to me, like, oh, after beating Collingwood, oh, don't know how many premierships had been won in March. And it's like, yeah, well, neither do I.
Yep.
And that was, you know, it's probably a good reality check we've had over the last couple of days.
For sure.
Last
2 weeks, yeah, man. Really good, really good. But yeah, it's been interesting post game, Mads.
With your social media antics.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we must be doing a number on the old algorithms at the moment.
For sure.
Because there's people with West Coast scarves, Collingwood logos as profile pictures.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's dead set berserk. So I was sitting watching the game in that fourth quarter. 7:40 to go in the last quarter, and I see Harley Reid lip off, and I am going with lip off. I stand by that very strongly.
You don't know though.
It looked
you
pretty
don't
lit.
Know.
I don't know, but
it looked to me like they were potentially cracking a gag. But let's go with lip off.
We're going with lip off for the narrative, and then I think Errol Goulden said to himself, "Well, this little kid's tried. He's broken 8 tackles today. I'm going to teach him a thing about footy." And Errol takes off from, finds a target, short 45 that they haven't manned up, and takes off on Harley Reid.
Yep.
I'm talking sprinting. And it's a hard running effort of, you know, 30 to 50 metres, gets the handball receive, hits up Taylor Adams, and then Isaac Heaney gets out the back, kicks a goal. It's the best bit of play from the weekend. Have a look at our socials and you'll see the clapback that it's got. But my point was, if you are going to lip off at a player and have something to say, be prepared to run with your direct opponent. I don't care if you played 400 games or 4 games like Harley Reid. That's a fundamental of the game.
Deeps.
This is not an effort thing.
No, it
is an effort thing. It is not a fitness thing.
Deeps, when I did Auskick, one of the first things they taught us is that if you are your direct opponent moves there and you don't have the ball, you go with him.
Yep.
So people in the comments, this is a bit rich. What a waste of a time for a video. He's only played 4 games. Well, he knows how to play football. He knows that he's got to be accountable for Errol.
Yeah.
Standing on the mark. When he goes, he should go.
It's
lazy, really.
It is, and that's what I was making.
Yeah,
the point of it's had over 220,000 views in 2.5 days. It's Kane Corns has ripped off my
how good
off my content. He
vindication.
Went with it on, vindication. He went with that on Footy Classified, the same clip I was talking about. But when I saw it live on Saturday, I was like, I'm clipping this. 100%. Said it to my mom, and I was like, that is just a fundamental of the game that you cannot get caught doing, and especially in your fourth game. You should be so worried about one of the best players in the competition.
What did Chez say?
She's like, vindication. That's what she said.
How did you handle the feedback?
The clapback. Oh, it's been really, it's very interesting, very entertaining. It's look, it's something new. I don't think we've ever had views like that ever on one clip in such a quick time. And it's fine. I just think everyone misses the point. I think it's right there in front of you. It's like whatever argument you come up with, I don't really care because I disagree with you strongly.
Is there anything you've learned?
I don't know. It's like, it's funny. We spoke about it. It's like, do you think about everything that you put online and how people could clap back at you? It's like, you get this wrong. Look, probably shouldn't have gone with gut running. I agree. But like, that's a...
I mean, come on. No, hold on. Is there a textbook definition for gut running?
Well, someone told me
fine. Get fucked.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Like, yeah. It's like, but like, look, factually, I agree with that, and I said that, but it's funny. It's an interesting world, social media, let me tell you.
I think the only, and you were driving it, and I was really impressed with, the way you, I was impressed with the way you executed it, because I think it was a completely reasonable opinion. And you gave him his credit where credit's due. He broke, he broke seven tackles. Broke seven tackles. Berserk. But hold on. So I think I was really impressed with the way you executed it. I guess it just comes down to you can't teach stupid.
Yes, I love that one.
And you just can't respond to everyone who disagrees with you, I suppose.
No,
because it just creates... You're never going to... Or 99% of the time, you're not going to change their opinion on social media.
Exactly right.
And so there's really no point.
You can argue it to the hills, yeah. And you just simply won't change their mind.
They're not going to see your view. You're not going to see... Well, I mean, maybe you see their view, but you're certainly not going to probably bow down to them, realistically. So, yeah,
and I even had Swanee supporters going at me.
Yeah, they're nuts. Everyone's nuts.
I slandered Harley Reid's name.
Oh, see, this
was a Swan supporter.
This is what I mean.
And I said respectfully, mate, I said, if you think that's slander, I said, look at the opening line. Harley Reid will be a superstar. Oh, geez, I'm being real tough on him. Real tough. I've got so much disrespect for Harley Reid. And this is coming from one of our own.
Yeah.
It's like, if that's too much for you, don't comment on my podcast page. See, it's mine. It's come from our page on Facebook. Don't comment on it. If that's too much for you, go home. Turn off your computer and go cry to mummy. Right? Because it's not your place, mate.
That's bevy.
Oh, far out.
I don't know, dude. Twitter seems to be the place with the most unhinged people.
Yeah, Twitter is just a lot more harsh. People will just go for your jugular.
Yeah.
Same with TikTok. TikTok's more no faces to names. And
sure.
Look, you just cop absolute crap and it doesn't matter. Where Facebook, people sort of try to be educational nearly. Yeah. But yeah, absolute experience.
Good stuff.
So jump onto those posts. It's entertaining reading. And I need more backing from the faithful, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
I think you went into bat for me a few times. Gowie went into bat for me,
Did he?
Yeah, Gowie went in.
Oh, what a Gowie, so I have to say.
Oh, I don't know. Something with concussion. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. But yeah, look, we need the backing from the faithful.
Harley Reid's a superstar.
It's polarizing. He's a polarizing player.
He's a weapon, though.
Weapon. So strong, bro. The most broken tackles in a game in 2 years that's been recorded.
Yeah, it's nice.
He's going to be very good, but I have no doubt that bit of vision would have been shown in his post-game review.
Do you reckon they put on your post?
Yeah.
You talking?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, what's his name? Yeah, Don Pike added me. He added me. He said, great work, True Bloods. He said, this is great stuff. I still love the Bloods, so it's good you're helping us out with the review. I said, Pikey, no worries. Thanks for the game plan.
Do you think Luke Parker is in our top 10 best players? Question without notice. Sorry.
That's all right. Yes. Yes, I do.
I do too.
Because there was a 6-week period last year where he was the best midfielder in the comp, and people are very, very quick to forget. but he's also got to prove that he's bounced back well from being out of the game for a while. He's got to prove that to us.
Yeah, and I can just see him kicking. I have visions of him kicking bags, like four, yeah. five.
Be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He's got nous. He's got forward craft.
Mate.
Yeah.
In spades.
He's kicked a bag of five three or four times, I reckon.
Against GWS when I was there, he kicked five.
Got one over his head.
Yeah.
Goal of the year. Snapped one out of midair. Yeah. But I think he's got something to prove. I'll back him. I'll back Parks.
To the hills.
To the hills. Yeah.
I brought you here.
Yeah. Nah, keen for Parks to get back. Millsy too, man. When do you reckon he's coming back?
I am just pulling up the injury list.
You reckon it's round 10, round 12?
I think.
I want it to be round 10, round 12.
Yeah. When? Let's pull up.
Do you bring him back the game before our second bye so he has a crack, week off, and then back into it?
Yeah, it really depends on whether it's the type of injury that you want to sort of ease him back into it or not. Like,
it's not that it's. I don't think the injury will be the concern because after a reconstruction, the actual joint, especially your shoulder, not weight bearing, it's stronger than what it was when you came out of it. It's not like a knee or, you know, anything like that. When it's not weight bearing, it's a different. It's going to be match fitness.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
So I would want him to get a run before our bye. I reckon our bye would be round 12.
Dane Rampy is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks.
Yep.
So that's handy with the bye.
That's really a bad hammer.
It is. It is bad, especially at his age. Luke Parker is going to be assessed by a specialist this week, Deeble.
Yeah, so that's getting the clearance.
Yeah, that's getting the clearance.
That's been 6 weeks since the break.
Yep. So he's probably not far off, right?
No, he's ready to go. Yeah. I think he's ready to go post-bye.
Callum Mills remains on target for mid-season. So you think that's probably around about the second bye, right?
Yep. It's 7-8 weeks away.
Yeah.
Well, 6 or 7 weeks away. Yeah, come on. Give us a chance at full strength.
Yeah, it'd
be give nice. Us a chance. Like, it's very unlikely we see it.
We're not far off it.
And, man, those two fix so many problems.
Mate, imagine, so when they get a run on us, Millsy going back.
Yeah, man. Far out.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm so angry at myself.
Let's just tone it down a little bit.
not even considering it on the weekend.
Says me on Saturday.
Yeah.
Thumping tables. Delist them all.
But nah, it makes it a lot better knowing you've got them to come back.
Oh,
it?
Dude. It's
calming.
Okay.
Calming influence. Millsy.
Sheldrick is probably a test.
What was he, a thumb?
Finger. Broken finger.
Yep. Should we jump into a little bit of social engagement?
Why not?
Because we love a little bit of social engagement, don't we?
We do. We absolutely love it, along with scoreboard impact from midfielders.
They're the two. They're the two big ones. We love a lot of things, though. But big Madison Clark went with hashtag ask the faithful. We've gone into the bye 4-1, which any of us would have taken in a heartbeat at the start of the season. But our form has been up and down. What part of our game do you think needs the most work? Best answers to be featured on the body. Who are we going with, Mads?
I have got a response here from Zane Red and White. Wow.
Wowee.
Now, I'm going to be very, very particular in terms of spelling and grammar on this. So I'll be giving you a score out of 10 at the end of this, Zane. Outside of consistency, an area of improvement for mine.
For yours.
Would be more damaging disposals.
Damaging.
From Senegal.
Damaging disposal.
I want to see some systematic synergy between our mids and then our forwards. Logan's hands are getting better every week, but I want to see him leading up at the ball carrier and then hitting him on the tit lace out. I reckon Zeno's been reading my mind.
Yeah.
And I reckon there could have been a bit of chat GPT in there because he's absolutely
killed. No. That's not what's happened.
I'm only joking.
He sat down last night at about 11:30 while the Faithful's chat was going on, and he had a home personal English lesson from the one and only D to the B backstorian. I sat him down. I said, Zeno, this is how you talk English. I never make mistakes online. He's yours, you know?
I was surprised that you were very much across that.
Yeah, mate, I'm telling you.
Faithful, Deeble started last night. Deeble started sort of giving out free English lessons. The difference between he's and his.
And pronunciations.
Yeah, that's right. Very
it
good
was show. Quite quality content. I wish I could have screen recorded
it. But that is good stuff, Zane, because I think if we can get that midfield working, you know, I really, if you're going to have three tools like that, you need to be doing it in the correct way. Currently, rip out one of them. I don't care who.
I think so. I 100% agree. Couldn't agree more.
It's just we look too tall.
Yep.
We've got no crummers whatsoever.
Yep.
Papley's had 10 touches for the day, Deeble.
Yes, I know. Winkstamatic over on your Instagram says, wow, gee whiz. For mine, it's the forward line.
For yours.
I think three bigs in the forward line is too many. I didn't even read this before we started talking. They're reading our mind here.
Wow.
I think Logan could play a bit further up the field or whatever, but has the most legs, like Jeremy and Cameron did on the weekend, and allow more space for the in the forward 50 for the other bigs, Armadi and McLean. It's a setup thing too, but it's so funny the forward structure in the modern game is so much different because it's a full ground press.
Yeah.
It's pressing up the ground. It's not like you're sitting two bigs back and Logan's leading up and you got all this space.
You really don't have as much room as you used to, right?
It doesn't work like that, 100%. But look, I understand what she's putting down though. Or he. I didn't even see if it was a he or her.
Let's have a look. Kenneth Newlin on the Fusser Book. To be honest, the competition is at a level where it's simply hard to win regardless of who you are playing. The week off comes at a perfect time because if there is anything at all, you might say we haven't looked as sharp in the last couple of weeks. So a week off may be exactly the medicine up the Bloods. I tend to agree, and this goes back to a point that we're certainly not at full strength, and I think we just need a bit of a reset, really.
Yep.
But it speaks to the fact also, it is an incredibly close competition.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide beat Richmond. Richmond beat us. Melbourne beat Port Adelaide. We beat Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's a very... The AFL have got what they wanted in terms of equilibrium.
Yeah.
Aside from a couple.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, again, even West Coast. Five goals. You know, we were firming as bloody premiership favourites two weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Can't count your chickens, Deeble.
You cannot until they hatch. Polly Porridge over on the Twitters goes with, would love to see Errol host a masterclass for the rest of the boys on how to hit a target inside 50 because no one else really seems capable of it.
It's fair.
It's fair. I'd say Haynes is probably along for the ride there. He's been pretty phenomenal.
Yes.
With the chiseling balls inside 50.
Hey, Nick Potter.
Potsy!
Boys, for mine.
For yours.
We're getting the ball, but our forward entries have gone backwards a bit. We're bombing it a bit like the old buddy days. Amadi and Logan are leading forwards. Don't drop into their heads. Stick it out in front of them. When we use the low kick, we get the ball in much better areas to convert, and we really need to convert from inside 50. Spot on. Low kicks.
Low kicks. 6-point goals, Faithful. Mark Bradford over on the Instagram says, for mine.
For yours.
It's definitely working on sticking tackles and asserting dominance in the contest. In the Essendon game, Richmond and West Coast, many times I felt we were beaten in the contest.
Yeah, it's true.
Have we got any voices?
Yeah, Josh Martin.
Big Joshy.
True Bloods, Mads and Deebs, hope you're all doing well. Just in response to the Ask the Faithful question on your Instagrams, for mine, boys,
yours.
One area that I think that we could improve on is probably our forward. Now, yeah, we've got the three talls, and I'm just not sure if it's working all the time. I'd love to see a bit more depth and a bit more dynamic, like what we saw in that Carlton game at the end of last season, when we threw Lukey Parker forward, and it just changed things up. It created a lot more dynamic, you know, really keeping the opposition guessing. Are you going to kick it to the big boys? Are you going to kick it to the smaller boys? You're not sure. But anyway, I'd love to see a bit of change in that. But let me know your thoughts. Anyway, up the Bloods, up the potty.
On you, Joshy, I've got a thought.
Yeah, go on.
Do you think having Isaac removed from the forward line has cooked the dynamic a little bit?
A little bit.
Because
it makes sense.
You lose his ability to organise down there.
Yep.
You lose him as a target, as a great in-air and at ground target. Now, you've got him in the midfield, but I think that could be where we've come undone a little bit.
For sure. And
because that's what else is there?
Yeah.
Aside from obviously Buddy's not there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's two pillars out of there. So they're still working it out, but we've seen it work, and what Joshy was saying there, having some different targets inside 50, we've seen it work already this year. Like, look pretty potent when Chad was in there, again, against the Pies. I think he kicked a couple goals. Like, there's just someone else who's got a lift. That resting midfielder who goes there. Will Haywood had a pretty good game on the weekend. You know, you need that consistently from Wilbur. There's enough there to work with.
Yeah.
I don't think we're lacking an option. It's just someone lifting and coming to the party.
It's got to be a next man up mentality, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
And, as we said, it's coming at a good time. You know, I think it's a tough game and it's a tough season. And as we say, it's bloody close. On their day, most teams can beat you if you're just a little bit off. So, it's fascinating stuff, Deebs, and we're along for the ride. I've actually got Mods here.
Big Modsy.
That's faithful. It's Mods here, still hung over from Gather Round, and what a week of footy that was. Big shout out to Matty Donnelly for getting 50 faithful up to the ground so that we could get amongst it and wreak havoc amongst the Weagle supporters and wreak even more havoc amongst the food trucks, which were magnificent. It's an open ground on top of a hill and very swirly, so it was difficult to score, to kick straight, which was reflected in the scoreline. And the Eagles came to play. They put a lot of pressure on. McGovern played well. Yo played well. Waterman played well. And that new bloke, Harvey Reeve, he's hard to tackle. He's got strong hips. But for mine, boys,
for yours.
For yours.
Logan McDonald and Amati. We kick it into the forward line and they bloody can't catch. I've had enough of them. Let's bundle them up and go to North Melbourne and trade them for Larky because he's a big unit that can catch and always kick straight. Up the potty, up the Bloods.
Very good, Mods.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, it'd be good.
About what happened up there with some sort of bus type operation.
Yeah. So the Facebook group organised a bus leaving from the Alma Hotel, and 50 seats took 50 of the faithful out to Mount Barker, and the bus waited around and took them home. Apparently, it was a nightmare if you had to organise it yourself. You know, the public transport and buses out there was a shit show. So, you know, the hats off to the Facebook crew and Donald's for sorting that out. It went really well, and yeah, they've done well.
Well, we've actually got a voice note from Mitchie Charles.
Yeah, here. Go with Mitchie.
So it's day four at Gather Round. Mitchie Charles and Donna's on the tour here. We went out to Mount Barker, watched that atrocity of a performance, but we got the 4 points. That's what we came for in the end. Mads, just calm down, mate. It's not all doom and gloom. but we've been discussing over the last 24 hours what needs to change for the Swans. I think we need to get some small forwards in there. So either Wixie's back in or Costanti. We need some crummers because Marty and Doss are not getting the job done in the air. What do you think, Donners?
I don't necessarily agree, and this is why we're having this
surprise/argument.
I just think the buy's coming at the perfect time to hit the reset button. We've got 2 weeks to work on these things. So the buy's going to come at a perfect time. We're going to start to get players back, and I'm pretty confident it'll all be good.
Anyway, it would have been good to see Hawthorn get up because the Adelaide Oval was rocking with everyone hating Collingwood. Everyone was the Hawthorn's best fan. Go the bloody Swanee.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's all going to be okay and work itself out. I think there are some changes and some team dynamic things that will change with, you know, Parks coming back in, Wicks coming back in, and that then it could work itself out, I think. With those two coming back in, I think one of the three has to come out.
I'm telling you, one of the three needs to come out.
Yep.
It looks cooked.
Cooked. But yeah, there you go.
Why do we always at marking contests have, you know, an extra person go up and then they win it at the ground? It's happened last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you'd have to talk to the Lions coaches for that one.
But it's just every time.
Yeah.
Everyone up. Up, everyone. We haven't taken a contested mark in 3 weeks, but yeah. Everyone up.
That's what I said in seg one. It's those three down the line where they took three contested grabs. Oh, the baby was out with the cot.
Bathwater?
Yeah. It was as frustrating as I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
Just like, what are we doing? Win a contest.
Ah, Todd Damien.
The vegan swan.
That's right.
Lads, faithful. Todd Damien, the vegan swan. Just touching base. You guys have got the men's game covered. You're all over it. Just wanted to give you a VFLW report from the weekend.
Wow.
The Sydney Swans AFLW team have joined the VFLW league, which is an outstanding move by Sydney to continue to get the girls to grow. And geez, didn't they play some bloody good football. Led by Montana Ham as captain. Laura Gardner was a star. Holly Cooper, Cynthia Hamilton. Look, they were all outstanding. Some of the ball movement was just scintillating.
Ooh.
Big things to come for the girls. Good on them.
Well, Todd's won himself a position in True Bloods if he's going to do the bloody VFL dub. That's wow.
I did see those stats come through. Someone sent them through. Montana Ham kick 5.
I think it was Liz.
Laura Gardner had 47
wow.
of the best out wow. in out as Futas Agrai with Frank Gotts.
So what are we doing there? Where our AFLW side is playing in the VFLW competition?
A lot of them, yeah. No,
that's great.
Yeah, it's good. Like, Chloe Malloy and stuff wasn't playing.
Oh, too good for it, is she?
Nah, it's just put her on ice, mate.
Yeah.
You don't roll out the Ferrari, you know, for the VFLW.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's all right. But yeah, keep him coming, vegan. Love to see it.
Yeah, love that.
But that just about wraps us
love
up,
love that contribution.
Good social seg. A little bit different, that was. More discussion.
I'm actually liking what we're... I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the faithful.
Let us know, because we were getting the feedback, you know, the social seg was a bit much for people, and, you know... And look, I think we've tried to listen to the faithful and we've done it a little bit different this year. So let us know.
It got to a point where it was like half an hour of voice notes. And I don't think even the people who would send in the voice notes wanted half an hour of voice notes.
Yeah, exactly right.
So,
but yeah. Now, look, like that's gone half an hour now, but it's completely different not having the preview this week.
What do you do with the forward line?
The forward line. Let's take a break and we'll talk about it and then do the tips.
Let's do it. At Onstone, Nick and Emma have been dedicated to a simple mission for 12 years, bringing your stories to life by printing your photos on stone. They're on Coventry Street in South Melbourne for 10 years and now on the peninsula. The Mornington Peninsula. That's right, Deeble. I said peninsula.
Very good, Mads. It's not just a photo, not just a print. On Stone is a marriage of the past and the future. Here's the magic. They take your favourite photos from phone to forever and transform them using a special process. They combine the specially formulated stone compound cast into a reclaimed hardwood timber frame with the photo sprayed onto the surface, creating a detail fine art quality image directly onto the surface. It won't fade as it doesn't have glass, there is no reflection, and just simply great depth of image.
That's right, Deeble. OnStone is the perfect gift for any occasion. Celebrate a wedding anniversary, create a family wall of memories, or a photo of a grand final win, God willing, Deeble.
As a True Bloods listener, you get 20% off the entire store at OnStone. Just use code TRUEBLOODS at checkout.
That's TRUEBLOODS at checkout for 20% off your purchase. Head over to onstone.com.au and upload your photos, or you can just drop into their Mornington showroom.
Welcome back to True Bloods. A little bit different tonight, Mads. I'm liking it. So we might jump into your suggestion on what we do with the forward line.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of caveats, right? One, what the fuck is happening with Sam Weeks, right?
Yes.
Why? My only concern with it, I think it's fine. Right? I don't think there's an issue here. I don't see, to the untrained eye, it doesn't look like there's a rift in the playing group. Now, we've all heard the stories about what's happened. We won't go into it. There's no point going into it. Fundamentally, though, if he was found to not have done anything wrong, which, you know, I love Wixie. It doesn't seem right that that would have happened, and they've come out and said it's wrong. Why didn't he play the next week?
Yeah,
why didn't he play VFL? Or,
no VFL.
Why didn't he play? Because I would have thought on form, he is in the best 22, Deeble.
Yeah, which makes me think there's a little bit more to this. And even if he was playing VFL next week, it's like hasn't played for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Because it's what we need. It's what we're missing. I think, as we spoke about, one of the three,
yep,
Logan, McLean, Armati, has to come out. And we get a bit little bit faster, a little bit, you know, a bit more dynamic in there. That's what I think.
Yep. I tend to agree. I just think we need to have other avenues. It can't just be pop it up. Three people go up, no contested marks taken. Like, I can't think of another time. Bloody Hayden was doing it all last year.
Yeah.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Yeah.
Their accuracy's probably hasn't been up to where it was. As I said, according to champion data, they're the two lowest performing players in our team, which... Yeah. Sort of tells you all you need to know about our forward line.
It does. It's not functioning. It hasn't really functioned all year.
Yeah.
We haven't had a bag. Oh, well.
Logan kicked four against Collingwood, but again, it's the way in which he was kicking them.
Yeah. It's not a bag. We need a
Charlie Curnow, Harry McKay.
We need a Tom Lynch, like against us. Even though that was only three goals, right? It's the manner he did it.
Yeah. It was dominant.
Dominant. We need a lift out of the forward line. We need Papley playing well, and we need Wixie.
Need one more crummer. Yeah. Need one more crummer. I just think you need to be able to put on a score. And we did, how many games has there been where we haven't kicked 100? Maybe just one?
I think, the loss.
Yeah. So we just need to be able to kick a score. And as I say, it's uncharacteristic, but we're being a lot of the cracks are papered over by Errol and Haynes.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just these are things to remember.
Yeah.
Don't be a happy clapper.
That's it.
Faithful. Just be realistic. There's always room for improvement, Faithful.
Could be your term of the year.
Don't be a happy clapper.
Happy clapper.
No, nah, well,
simply cannot be happy clapper.
Oh, there's a few happy clapper podcasts out there, Deeble.
There are, mate. There are.
We're not one of them.
No, definitely not. But we've got a late night on the tools next week, so we might wrap this up in here after we do the tips. I'll get to the leaderboard, Mads.
Yes.
Bally's banter on top.
Wow.
One clear of the incredible Sock, which I'm pretty sure is Christian, on 32 with Ange Polo, Osport UK, M. Engel, Chase Costa, Crafty.
With all due respect.
Crafty.
How do you get the clout when we don't know who you are?
Yeah, exactly. You got Bloods Footy, Big Wazza. He's in the top two off the lead.
Wow.
Doug 17 and Poodle 17. The Mystic D Pasquale.
He's up there, is he?
He's up there. He's just outside the top 10 on 30.
Sensational.
Love to see it. Very good.
Now, Deeble, where are you?
78th.
78th. Yep. Okay, that's very interesting. Did you tip 9 last week?
I did.
So did I.
9 of the best. Yep.
I am sitting at 60th.
Ooh, within touching distance.
I'm on 29.
Yeah, so 28 for myself. So keep tipping well, faithfully.
I
it
need
is
to
a long
lift.
Year.
It is a long year, but you still you don't want to get off the pace.
Yeah, you can't get too far off.
Can't get too far off the pace. So it's a letter on 33. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm 4 off. I'm almost cooked, yeah. Right? I'm almost bloody cooked.
Yeah, it's hard to bring it back. Okay, we have Thursday night footy this week, Melbourne v. the Lions.
Sensational. I think, Melbourne look good.
They do.
Melbourne look very good. Where is it?
Melbourne, Thursday night.
Oh, I'm going.
Nice.
I'm going.
Very good.
Brisbane.
Oh, I was going to tip them too.
Yeah.
Could be the upset. Hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Bulldogs, Dons. How's that Essendon edge? Yeah. How is it?
You kick 4 goals for the day, Deeble.
Doggies.
Yeah, they suck.
Doggies were good against the Cats. Cats have come back.
Yep. They Cats look are good. Back. They do look good. GWS and St Kilda.
Ooh.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, Manuka. Giants. They don't lose at Manuka.
Yeah, Giants.
Carlton and
Carlton,
Adelaide.
Adelaide
are a disgrace.
Yep, Carlton.
Gold Coast and Hawthorn.
Hawks.
Gold Coast at home, you reckon?
Yep.
Oh, I reckon you're wrong. Port and Fremantle. Adelaide Oval.
Port.
Yep. Freo were gallant against Carlton.
Yeah.
Probably should have won. Geelong versus North Melbourne. That's interesting. 100% have said Geelong. So literally nobody has tipped North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Out we come to play. And my tip will be no different.
Yeah.
The Weagles and Richmond. Now, do you know what?
What?
This could be the one.
Weagles coming out. I had a look at that. I tipped Richmond.
See, Weagles are only 350.
But Tigers were... Who did the Tigers play?
They Saints. Played Saints.
Good for 3.5. That's not getting you a game. I don't know. Don't care.
Yeah,
too far
care.
Off the pace.
Yeah.
Too far off the pace. But this has been True Bloods, mate. It's we're 4-1. We've got the bye this week. Rest up this week, faithful, and we'll come back raring to go. Big preview for the game. Who do we play after the bye?
Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. That's a big game.
And then you know what that is for the Melbourne faithful?
What's that?
That is a rising sun.
Rising
game.
Sun occasion. We have booked a table. We will be getting down. So if you want to come down, book a table upstairs in the True Bloods room, get up there. Looking forward to that. But this has been True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast. Number one in the hearts and number one on the charts. We're speaking words of wisdom up the potty. Mads, do you know what I love about being a Swans supporter?
What's that, Deeble?
It's belonging to the culture, the Bloods culture. It's funny, you know, Mads. Culture might just be the most discussed but least understood topic on the planet.
Oh, I agree.
But you know who understands culture?
That'd be pragmatic thinking, Deeble. Darren, Ali, Rowan and the team at Pragmatic Thinking have been delivering leadership training, consultancy and advice to some of the biggest organisations you can name for nearly 2 decades now. And you know what, Deeble?
What?
They love the Swannies.
Oh, how good's that?
So for any of the faithful who are out there and in corporate land thinking that your workplace culture needs a little nudge, then Pragmatic Thinking are worth a call.
For sure, Mads. And maybe you need a workshop for your team or an off-site for your leadership group. The PT team will help you lower the eyes and hit targets like Errol Goulden inside forward 50. Hit up the team on www.pragmaticthinking.com. Speak to Darren and the team and get your session locked in.